Support for Reporting on Technology and Innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com. You're listening to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us today. And joining me now is Robert Anderson. He's a professor in the Nanoscience and Nanoengineering Graduate Program at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
So let's start. We're going to start with a new telescope.
Microscope.
Oh, telescope looks out. Microscope. Okay. Microscope that you helped build?
Correct.
Okay. So explain what this is.
The microscope itself is called the lattice light sheet microscope. It's a new technique in optical microscopy that was first published in late 2014 by Eric Betzig's group at Howard Hughes Medical Institute. He actually won the Nobel Prize in 2014 for chemistry for a different technique that he had invented.
Okay.
And this was a new technique that they had just recently developed. So through an agreement with them, we were allowed to actually develop our own version of the same thing and implement it at School of Mines. The technique itself is actually designed to produce three-dimensional microscopic images of cells, of living cells. They don't have to be fixed or destroyed to actually observe them. And that's actually what makes it unique, is we're able to monitor the cell living and actually observe cellular mechanics and dynamics as they're occurring, and try to understand the cell from that point of view.
And before, it's always just been a flat look at a cell.
Typically, right? There are other three-dimensional techniques, but they have downsides. The most common is something called confocal microscopy. It looks at a single. It can do a three-dimensional rendering, but it actually does it point by point, so it's slow. And it tends to actually be very hard on the cell.
Okay, and so now you have this, and you get all this data, right?
Right.
So you have this great microscope.
Got this great microscope.
Right, and now what?
Well, the downside is, so you can look at three dimensions, and you can look at fast three dimensions. So you're producing a lot of data.
You can
see it moving.
Right.
You can see things as they're changing. But if you think about it as a data problem, the camera on this can produce something on the order of a gigabyte of data per second.
Okay, put that into perspective.
Into perspective. So we talked a little bit about the size of like a smartphone picture.
Mm-hmm.
That could be somewhere on the equivalent of several hundred smartphone photos per second. From the machine itself. And so we have to find ways of actually dealing with that efficiently and effectively so that we can understand what's going on.
Okay, so you've received a grant to help you figure this out.
Right, so okay. we actually received a grant from the NSF. It's called an MRI, which is Major Research Instrumentation Development Grant, with the proposal, the idea being that we want to create a system which can actually store and process the images as they're coming off the microscope and allow it to be accessible to a lot of different researchers. So we're going to have a lot of collaborators bringing in samples, cells, tissue that they want to look at, but they'll also want to be able to look at the data easily once they're done taking the data and not have to
recreate it
or have to take an external hard drive and cart it around the state, and then who knows what happens to it then. We want an efficient mechanism that they can go and look at the data without actually having to reinvent that process every time that they come out to do so.
And how important is it to watch the movement of the cells?
Well, that's actually probably the most unique aspect of the microscope itself, is being able to watch in real time what's going on with the cell. We can watch. Right now we have collaborators that are looking at macrophages and the processes they use to actually engulf other cells or invaders or other materials in the body, foreign materials, and watch that process as it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to see it as it occurs is probably the most important aspect.
And being able to save that.
And save it.
Right?
And then
analyze
it.
Is it like saved as a movie, like a video?
You can make a movie or a video out of it.
Huh.
Probably the more important aspect is going to be to what I call quantitative analysis of that data. So not just being able to watch it through our eyes, but actually have a computer be able to process it and put into numbers what's going on. So things like mobility, if you're watching protein dynamics, you watch individual structures inside the cell. We want to know how fast they're moving, how many of them there are, what they're actually doing, you know, trying to quantify that information and then be able to derive conclusions. So if we're looking at disease states versus healthy cells, we can tell, we can actually have a number which quantifies that state.
Okay, and so how far in the process are you in creating this?
In the microscope or the actual
system?
Well,
let's start with the microscope.
Well, the microscope itself is built. Okay. We're actually using it right now. We have collaborators bringing in samples. We're working on things from macrophages to looking at yeast cells, looking at kidney cells. So that part we're doing right now. And it's producing a lot of data. So we're just starting to see that problem crop up. We're just getting started on actually developing the system for processing it right now. We have a skeletal system in place. The biggest thing that we're going to be working on is how to share that data with other researchers efficiently.
So because how many of these microscopes are there around the country?
Currently, there's just a handful.
Yeah.
Maybe on the order of a dozen.
So somebody could send you something and then you would send the data back?
Is that would be, you know, we hope to get to that point.
We're not there yet.
maybe not quite yet, yeah. Okay. But currently, our collaborators are usually in state, so they quite often travel. And that's usually the best avenue when you're starting with a process is that they understand their samples the best and they'll come out, we'll help them take the data and then teach us as much as it teaches them, because we learn what they're actually trying to do. So in the future, you know, and after that, they could probably send out a cell and we could manage it just from here.
But they have their own technique and their own way of looking.
Yeah. And it varies from sample to sample, from whatever they're looking at. Some of them are individual cells. Some of them are maybe tissue slices or other, you know, configurations for their experiment.
And are we talking still the little glass? Or has that changed?
No, that part is still there.
Okay.
But most of the cells, so we have a 5 millimeter cover slip. It's tiny in comparison to what you're probably thinking of as a large rectangular slip of glass. But the cells themselves are still alive and still three-dimensional. They're just sitting on top of a cover slip.
And they're very small.
And the technique itself is actually an optical sectioning, more akin to, like, say, a CAT scan. We're actually taking two-dimensional slices optically of the cell and then reconstructing it in three dimensions. And we can do that repeatedly to create three-dimensional volumes through time. So we're actually creating three-dimensional movies.
And going deep.
And going through the entire cell or the entire tissue sample if it's not too deep.
Huh. See, my jaw is hanging open.
So the technique itself is actually built around producing three-dimensional images from two-dimensional images. And the lattice light sheet part, the fancy sounding name, that's actually it's describing how we're actually engineering the light sheet itself. We're producing a thin light sheet, we're cross-sectioning the cell.
Yeah.
And then we're observing that as a two-dimensional image and then taking a stack of those two-dimensional images to produce the volumetric three-dimensional image.
And how big is this machine?
The machine itself sits on a 4 by 6 foot optical table. So it's not gigantic. There's the microscope itself. It sits vertically on that table, and then there's a control station on the backside, and then we have an array of lasers that we actually use for the excitation itself.
And this is something you constructed.
Correct. So this is a custom built instrument that you can't just go buy. It's all custom fabricated.
Can it be replicated?
It can. It takes a good deal of effort. There are companies that are trying to commercialize it right now, but it might be some time before you have a true turnkey system that's an operator could just walk up to and use. And it's probably going to be well above $1 million to just go buy something like this.
Okay, so as you constructed it, did you personalize it in any way with I wish it would?
There's always some of that. And right now we're in the process of adding an auxiliary camera onto the system itself, so we can look at simultaneously look at two different colors of emission. So most of these samples have fluorescent staining of some form, either fluorescent proteins or fluorescent dyes, and that's actually what you get your signal from. So we can excite, you can actually prepare a sample with multiple fluorescent stains or proteins, which allows us to tag specific structures, specific proteins, or look at the cell's exterior lining itself. And we can observe those simultaneously in different colors and actually try to understand various aspects of the cell that way. So we have a collection of different lasers we can use for the excitation. We can look at multiple colors coming off the cell simultaneously. And we're trying to enhance that as we go. So it'll just be adding to the data problem as we add more and more cameras on.
Because
this.
You'll have more and more data.
Exactly.
Wow. And so you receive this grant for this data, and I mean, how big of a machine do you need to build to hold this?
Well, hopefully not too big. We had proposed something that was going to be more integrated with the instrument, so a little bit smaller, something on the order of that would fit in a small rack that could be either adjacent or closely localized with the instrument itself. So hopefully not too large. We're trying to keep it reasonable.
And is this instrument portable? Could you take it to a researcher, or you need them to come to you?
That would be pretty difficult right now.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future, once they've turned it into a more of a turnkey system, more of a commercial system, maybe that'll be possible. But right now, you're pretty well limited to having researchers bring their stuff in to the microscope itself.
Fascinating stuff. And how did you want to build this microscope?
That's a good question. I was hired to build that microscope.
You were brought in?
I was brought in.
Okay.
So that was something that, when I actually had talked to them and about this position, and they described what they were trying to do, and I said, well, I can do that. So that's why I was hired for this particular project.
Now, and how is it being used as a teaching tool at School of Mines?
As a teaching tool, currently we have a number of graduate students that actually use the instruments, and we're trying to incorporate that into their research so that as they're pursuing their degree, they're going to be using the instrument in that in that capacity, generating data, producing papers, producing dissertations, and actually getting degrees. The overall aim with the grant is hopefully to use it as an outreach tool and find ways of incorporating not just graduate students, but undergraduate and K-12 students to be able to interact with the data. They might not be able to come to the microscope itself, but they should hopefully be able to see the data, interact with it, do actual analyses of the images, and we'll be using it that way.
Okay. So I want to thank you for taking time, and I am going to schedule a trip out to actually see this.
Of course. We'd love to have you out there.
I would love to do it. Robert Anderson, thank you so much for taking time and coming on the program today. I appreciate
You're welcome.
It.